Isn't it interesting? This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the topic, Isn't That Interesting? We got an email this morning from Katarina, who lives in New Zealand. And Katarina has a friend who lives in Pangabangatakalabu, which is an island of the in the Pacific there someplace, you know. And on this island, they have no electricity. I mean, they're 100 miles from, 100 miles, they're a million miles from the next island, so to speak. And they don't have a generator to make electricity. But that they must have a generator to make electricity because they have
computers.
And to operate a computer, you have to have some sort of, well, maybe not. Maybe they have these panels for
solar
panels, yeah. They probably have a solar panel there. That they could have. That would be very readily done. Maybe I should put one of those on top of my house, solar panel for my computer. Okay, so Katarina was saying that she wanted to talk to her friend and couldn't call her, so she used Skype, S-K-Y-P-E, and that allowed her to talk from her computer to the other lady's computer out on that island in the middle of the Pacific. And they just chatted and chatted and chatted with no limitation in time, with no limitation of anything, just talk their hearts out. And then they said, we must do this again. And it really does work quite well. Many people have Skype and they use it and they find it very satisfactory. People who have the Macintosh and they have the MacBook and so forth, iMac, that all has on the screen, it has a little camera. And so you just go into, what is it, iPhotos, and you pull it up, and you can see yourself. Take a picture of yourself, and how silly you look, or how beautiful you look. And you can make yourself look any way that you want. You can make yourself look like an animal, big face, little face, and different colors, and like cartoon. All these beautiful things that can be done. Now, what is it that you want out of life? If anything exists on a computer, if anything exists in the manufactured world, somebody thought it up. Somebody created it out of their mind. And so when we start saying during Jesus' day, he could well have used teleportation to travel around and visit different places that he wanted to visit. Or he could just mentally be there, which is just as easy. And we say, oh, now, Herb, don't get so wild, don't get so crazy. Well, the crazier we get, the wilder we get, the more we're entering into the realm of the mind. The more we're entering into the realm of possibilities. The more we're entering into the realm of reality. Because we are so limiting to ourselves because we have been told all of our life that we can't do things. We've been told all of our life that there's no way that we can enjoy these things. They just cannot be done. It cannot be done. And so we don't try it. We don't try it. When little children are most perceptive and receptive and able to do little miracles, we say, don't do that. Mommy, I felt like dancing over the flowers today. Oh, come on now, don't tell anybody. Oh, Mommy, I got some little friends with me. Would you like to meet my friends, you know? And Mommy says, where are they? Well, they're right here. Well, I don't see them. Well, I see them. There's George and Marilyn and John. And well, I don't see them. Now, don't tell other people this. They will think you are silly. They will think that you are not, you know, totally there. But Mom, just because you can't see them doesn't mean I can't see them. And you see, we're trained out of this deeper intuitive imagination, this ability to know what's going on in the world by the naturalness of an adult who is already asleep, no longer awake to the magic in the world, no longer awake. And the child comes in and grabs the mother's flowers from the front yard and brings it into the mommy. Mommy, I got something for you. And she looks at her prized flowers and she says, oh my God, my flowers. And then she looks in the child's eyes and she says, such innocence. She brought me the flowers out of love. She picked them and said, she thought I would like them like she'd like them. And she said, Mommy, smell them. Don't they smell nice? And Mommy can't smell them, because she's got tears in her eyes and in her nose, and she can't smell. But you see, this is what we do to ourselves. We ace ourselves, we jade ourselves from the possibility of being harmonious and in tune with what's really going on in the world. We can do it. We can do it. We can dream our dreams and have them come true. Now, what does the richest man in the world do? He works and enjoys what he's doing. Now, Bill Gates got jealous of his wife. Can you imagine getting jealous of your wife? He got jealous of his wife because she was having fun at her job, and he was beginning to get a big pain in the neck over his job, because in his job he had to do things he wasn't interested in doing. He didn't want to run a corporation. He didn't want to run a company. He didn't want to manage thousands of people who work for Microsoft. He didn't want to do that. He wanted to work on software. He just wanted to play his little game. But he got thrown into this bigger picture, and he did a reasonably good job in the bigger picture as a CEO and everything else. But he always tried to bring other people in to do the day-to-day work because he wanted to have the fun. And then he put his wife in charge of their multi-billion-dollar corporation that handles philanthropy, that gives money to people and groups and places where it might be helpful. And his wife says, oh, you know what I did today? You know what we did today? You know where we spent some money? We just gave $2 billion to this and $2 million to this. And he said, you're having all the fun. So he quit his job, and that was 2 days ago, and now he's full-time working with his wife on their project. But you see, he still has one day a week that he puts on his Microsoft company just to be there to help them and they need him. And then he has 3 days a week working on this $50 billion corporation that gives away money to people. I mean, you know, 3 days? And how many hours a day? Do you think he rushes to his office? Or he probably has his office at home, you know. And what do you think he does? He has learned to pace himself, or is learning. And he's put aside the Microsoft Corporation of at least $100 billion worth, you know, and taken over his $50 billion worth corporation. If you had said to Bill Gates when he was a young man and his mother was listening, well, Bill, what are you going to do when you grow up? Oh, I'm just going to go and do wonderful things. And his mother says, well, if you don't do better in school, you're not going to do wonderful things. If you don't do this and if you don't do that, right away, dong, 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 instead of saying, yes, son, you have the sky the limit. You can go, go, go and do anything you want. Dream your dreams and follow your dreams. And, you know, if she would have said that to him, maybe he would have been famous and been very successful. Now, you think Bill Gates is successful. Here he is, the second most wealthy man in the world, or wherever he falls up there, but he's a very, very wealthy man. And he's still looking for something in life to give him pleasure. Isn't that interesting? He's still looking for something in life that is going to give life meaning for him. Now, do you think if he finds the cure for the cancer that killed his mother, you know, or one of his corporations find the cure, that that'll make him happy?
A bit, yes.
It'll give him a little bit of happiness,
yes,
but only for a moment. because then he'll go on and he'll say, now we've got to do it this and that, you know, and my dad might have a problem, and we got to do something there, and, you know, the closeness of the family to him. And what sort of school is he sending his kids to? What sort of a world is he involved in? You know? Is he learning? I read in an article this morning from the Theosophical Society, and in the article, this woman said that when she was first starting out and writing her doctoral thesis on yoga at the University of Berkeley in California, she was writing her thesis or doctoral dissertation on yoga. And so she was given a grant to work on it, and she went down to India to work on it. And she was a teacher in the public schools at that time while she was working on it, and she wanted to incorporate this into a public school, and she wanted to take the spirituality out of yoga. She wanted to take their religious connotations out of yoga. So she went down to India, and she talked to these gurus or these teachers of yoga, and then she said, well, let's take it beyond the level of spiritual quality. Let's take it beyond there. And her teachers merely said to her, get thee behind me. And they just gave her their backsides. They turned around and didn't give her any more cooperation. And then she woke up and she said, if you take the spiritual qualities out of yoga, you've taken out of yoga all that yoga is. You've taken out of yoga all that it means. It means the inner spiritual reality of a man at peace with himself, and so forth. And she said, I had a rude awakening. And we all have a rude awakening when we stop trying to get rid of the foundation of the world and just stand on the foundation of the world and go forth. Now, what's the foundation of the world? Believing in yourself. What's the foundation of the world?
Believing in myself.
Being myself and having
being,
fun.
Being myself. And
remember that one?
Yeah.
Remember that one? Huh?
Being my, I am myself and I have fun.
Right. Being yourself. And you see, if you are yourself and having fun, that's the greatest spiritual foundation you'll ever have, because it's the only one that matters. And it's the only one that matters to you or anybody else. So this is what, unfortunately, has been trained out of most children. And now the time is right for you and me to train it back in again and say, I can do whatever I choose, and I do it, and it's fun. And I like me, and I like you.
And I love you.
And I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I think you're wonderful.
Thank you.